do not know, but we are still smiling. We feel very, very blessed and thankful.
Praise the Lord.
We have told everybody that every God's amazing creation, that everything is beautiful and amazing in its own way. He made it that way. It's unique and amazing. And Heidi tells all of our friends as you go, you see something, you think, well, he can't top that. Well, sure enough, the next stop, he tops it again. But it's really kind of that way. I was sharing with Brother Larry. It's really that kind of way around here. You'll go someplace and the sun will be setting a different way or coming up a different way, or the coming out here, the beautiful dark clouds made a contrast with the sun on the trees. He has made an amazing creation. And we're very, very blessed to get to see it. So I have already apologized to Brother Larry for all this reading that we've been doing. And he has once again this week has his work cut out for him. So whenever you're ready, kind sir, we are ready.
The Lord rejects Saul as king. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim. 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him and said, the Lord bless you, have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Enough, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me, so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites. Agag came to him in chains, and he thought, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women. And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul until the day Samuel died. He did not go to see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel.
Thank you for those beautiful scripture, Lord. Let us go to prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that we can come out here and worship you. Oh, Father, we come to you this morning as your humble servants. We are obedient to your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, that he would help to lead God and direct us in that way. Precious Heavenly Father, we had asked that the Holy Spirit would lead this service, that and will continue to lead this service, and let what you want to be told be told. Let what you want to be heard to be heard. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus and the amazing plan that you set forth before time, that we could be forgiven, that the perfect sacrifice could come to earth so our sin could be forgiven. Thank you for all these things. Please continue to be with the sick and afflicted. Please be with the people that cannot worship you freely. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come here freely and worship you. Thank you for all these things. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you again, Brother Larry, for all that reading. So as we can clearly all of us see, chapter 15 here has a lot going on. But one of the main issues that we're going to focus on and discuss today, of course, is in regard to disobedience and Saul's disobedience. This is something that I know that I have experienced, and perhaps we all have. Disobedience that may happen with children disobeying their parents, it also may happen with the law, sometimes as simple as speeding. But here today, we are talking about disobedience to God. We know what it means to be obedient. The Oxford Dictionary gives the meaning of complying or willing to comply with orders or requests to another's will. To obey is not easy, lots of times. It takes trust, it takes faith, and humility.
Amen.
So we see in these scriptures this morning that Saul was giving a very specific message and a mission from the Lord. There was nothing in conflict about what the Lord told him to do. The setting was crystal clear. God gave a very clear and direct command. As we learned in verse 3, he said, "Go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys." A very clear order that the Lord gave to Saul.
Amen.
If we look back in the book of Exodus in chapter 17, the story is foretold that this would happen one day. The Amalekites had attacked the Israelites in chapter 17. In verse 14 it says, "Then the Lord says to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under the heaven." Saul was put to test in the war against the Amalekites. He had a mission, but we can see as we go further into chapter 15 that Saul was not obedient in carrying out the mission. God did not set Saul up for failure. God did not set Saul up in a difficult situation only to see his downfall. In the beginning, everything was in his favor. He had a divine call from God. He had the power of God's Holy Spirit to enable him to do what God wanted. He had a wonderful praying friend in Samuel, the prophet, and he had a group of men who supported him. God does not prepare Saul or us or anyone to fail.
Amen.
Saul's experience can teach us important lessons about obedience to God. In looking at these verses, we don't want to judge Saul, but perhaps we can learn to avoid some of the same downfalls of Saul and remember, as the song this morning, trust and obey. Downfall number one, rationalizing as to why I'm doing this. Number one, the temptation to rationalize or perhaps question in our minds, why are we being asked to do something? Number two, we all want to understand the reasons and know the logic behind what is being asked of us. We want to know the why. Perhaps in Saul's mind, he was doing what was best. We need to remember that there is nothing wrong with asking. God gives us a mind to think, but at the end of it all, asking, we need to submit to his will.
Amen.
We all remember the beautiful scene of Jesus, our Savior, in Gethsemane. And as his most trusted disciples slept, he prayed, and he even asked why. But as we know, at the end, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." In Isaiah 55:9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." This is from God. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. We have no understanding of what he thinks and what he has to do for his will to be done.
Amen.
We need to know where we stand. We are not on par with him, sitting at the table and negotiating terms with him. He is God and we are not. Can God trust Saul to obey him? Can Saul obey God even when it does not make good sense, destroying all the good flock? Obedience is the acceptance of the authority and will of God. It means submitting to Him and expressing that submission in actions, words, and thoughts. To be obedient is to be in agreement with God. To trust means to have a firm belief in the reality, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Before moving on, I want to give you a short story about trust. There was a little girl and her father walking across the bridge. The father was kind of scared, so he asked his daughter, Sweetheart, please take hold of my hand. The little girl said, No, Dad, you hold my hand. What's the difference? Asked the father. There's a big difference, replied the little girl. If I hold your hand and something happens to me, chances are I will let go. But if you hold my hand, I know for sure that no matter what happens, you will not let go.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful way to think about the trust we have in our Lord Jesus Christ? Saul's first response to Samuel, as finally Samuel's caught up with this joker, Saul's first response, I have carried out the Lord's instructions. As we know, not entirely, but generally. So downfall number two, the temptation to belittle it. We all have the temptation to belittle what we have done. I've done what the Lord says, at least to a certain extent. I did what was necessary. Samuel says, What is that? What is this bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle that I'm hearing? If he had did everything that he was told. Think of the wonderful song we all know and love, Do You Hear What I Hear? Saul was caught. His answers was, at this point, the soldiers took it. Saul claimed to be obedient to God when he really wasn't. The bleating of sheep and lowing of oxen were clear evidence that he had not obeyed God. Saul was substituting saying for doing. It is so easy for us as God's people to substitute words for actions. Don't substitute excuses for confession. Downfall number three, the temptation to blame. It's not my fault. 1 Samuel 15:9 says, But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle and the fat calves and lambs and everything that was good. They were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. As we all know, one sin often leads to another when we try to hide our sin. Saul began his career as king. He was humble, obedient, and responsible. He had the respect of the people and the blessing of God. But the more he was elevated, the greater his moral decline became. Until finally God said that he was grieved that he ever made Saul king. Stop making excuses and confess your sins to God so that you can move forward for him.
Amen.
So downfall number four, the temptation to give an excuse for it. I have a good reason for this. Samuel in 1 Samuel 15:15, the soldiers spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Isn't it interesting to note that Saul refers to God as your God now? I've kept them for your God. See Samuel's reaction. We all saw it as Larry read. Basically, Samuel says, Stop! Just stop. We've had enough. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Samuel had been with the Lord all night. Saul was unrepentant. He repeated his excuse again with the exact same words. He was in denial. Samuel again replied, Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You mean to say God is happier seeing you offer these good flock as sacrifices to him than to have you obey his commands? You are pushing these sacrifices higher than the obedience to God. Can we compensate our disobedience to God by more sacrifices, more giving, more serving, or more church going? Can we really make up for our sin? Saul tried. The good flock were kept to make sacrifices for the Lord. No good deed can buy God's favor. No sacrifice can earn God's forgiveness. Saul needs to confess and repent like King David did. This is what separates the two, a repentant heart. We know what David learned in Psalms 51, 16 and 17. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. When Saul was finally forced to admit, he gave yet another excuse. In verse 24, it says, I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Downfall number 5, the temptation of us all to please man and please people. He wants to win favor. He wants to win the favor of the people. It's the easier way. He sought to please the people rather than God. He does not want to get himself into trouble. How do we know that Saul was keen to please only himself? One was to build a monument for in his own honor after the battle. Two, his denial of disobedience to God, even with many clear evidences. Three, when Samuel turned to leave in verse 30, Saul said, I have sinned. Please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God and act to save face. Saul disobeys because self-will dominates. He wants to do what he likes. So, amen. So often we want to do what we like. There is no limbo state. If we are not willing to follow God's will, then we are following our will or someone else's will. Saul failed God because he had chosen to follow his own will. A businessman well known for his ruthless ways once announced to the writer Mark Twain, the one who wrote Huckleberry Finn and all those stories. The businessman told Mark Twain, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top." Mark Twain replied to the ruthless businessman that he had a better idea. "You could stay here in Boston and keep the commandments."
Amen.
When we get our heart right, our actions will be right, but not the other way around. Having the right sacrifices will not make our heart right. The Pharisees are examples of this in Jesus' day. They've all the right sacrifice, but Jesus says their hearts are far from him. They are hypocrites.
Amen.
We see in Matthew 23:26, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. A prayer by King David in Psalms 51:10-12. And verse 10 starts, Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts today. Pray that we don't ignore it.
Amen.
During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast. One of the ministers said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." President Lincoln's response showed a far more greater insight. "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side."
Amen.
Let us strive to avoid these downfalls of disobedience. The temptation to rationalize it, to belittle it, to blame it, to give excuses for it, to please man rather than God. In summary, I would like to read to you a daily devotion by Pastor Ed Ray, which I feel is a great way to summarize what we've been talking about here today. He writes, God instructed Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites, but he didn't. When he greeted Samuel, he began with a nice spiritual greeting, followed by a blatant lie. Here's something worth remembering. It is never a good idea to lie to the prophet of God face to face. Saul knew he had not destroyed all the Amalekites in Israel, that he had saved the best of the livestock, and that he had spared King Agag, all in direct disobedience to God's command. This was the second gracious test God had allowed Saul, giving him yet another chance at obedience. Samuel's reply in verse 22 sums up the subject from God's perspective. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. The Old Testament sacrificial system was never intended to function in place of living an obedient life. God always desired heart obedience over any ritual sacrifice of animals. Saul's problem wasn't just that he neglected some ceremony, but that his heart had become rebellious against God.
Amen.
No amount of ceremonial ritual can make up for a resistance to God. It doesn't do any good to try to sway God by religious observances and to ignore our own blindness to God's demand in our life. Saul's attitude was that obedience to God is optional. It is interesting, in closing, that animals are often more motivated than humans in the area of obedience. Our dogs and cats are more obedient sometimes than us. I read about a man whose dog had been killed in a forest fire. Heartbroken, the man explained that he worked outdoors and he often took his dog with him. On the morning of the fire, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him the command to stay and watch his lunch bucket while he went into the forest. His faithful friend understood and did exactly that. The fire started in the woods, and the blaze soon spread to the spot where the dog had been left, but he didn't move. He stayed right there, right where he was, in perfect obedience to his master's command. With tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it. May God give us that attitude of obedience to his word.
Amen.
Let us pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this message, and thank you for this scripture that you have given us. Thank you that we know our one and only true King. Send us into this week and let the people see that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. Thank you for this little church on the hill that we can come here freely and worship you and love you and thank you for all the blessings that we do not deserve. Thank you for each and every single person that has came out today. Thank you for all these things, and thank you most of all for your Son Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Pastor Mike would come and close this service.
Let's stand with 394.
Jesus, I surrender all to live my free. surrender.